Okay, we're bringing the Wednesday, July 24th, 2024, Oceano Community Center Direct Board Meeting to order. Roll call.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Director Villa?
Here.
And Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Here. Okay, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the purpose of the board meeting is to conduct the business of the community in an effective and efficient manner. For the benefit of the community, the Oceano Service District asks that you follow the board meeting guidelines while attending the board meetings and treat everyone with respect and dignity. This is due to the following meeting guidelines set forth in the state law and board policy. Descriptive.
Disruptive.
Yeah, disruptive conduct will not be tolerated, including, but not limited to, addressing the board without first being recognized, interrupting speakers, board members or staff, continuing to speak after your allotted time has expired, and failing to relinquish the podium when the directed to do so, and repeatedly addressing the same subject. Okay.
Agenda review.
Hmm? Yeah. Okay, agenda review.
I don't have anything.
I don't either.
Is there any?
Okay, so nobody has anything to pull for the agenda review.
Vice President Joyce Sennison, may I make a note? We have provided pictures of the surplus item that is a part of the consent item, and there's copies here for the board and copies there for the back table. And just when we get to that item, just remember it's there for the public and the board. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. The sheriff's report, or wait a minute. Public comment provides the opportunity to address items that are not on the agenda. Does there any public comment? Yes.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I have a couple of subjects I wanted to cover. First thing specific to Oceano CSD, I would like your board to come out with some sort of update on the embezzlement situation. I think that time has gone on quite a while on that subject, and we need an update and a progress report, something, whatever. So I look forward to that. I did want to bring your attention to an item that was approved at the Port San Luis Obispo, they don't have Obispo in their name. Port San Luis Harbor District last night. It was in regard to offshore wind and the support that may need to be installed at the port. The port being Avila Beach, Port Hartford, all that, the Dog Beach. These are the places that we take our guests. These are the places where we go and watch a sunset. These are places we all enjoy. Over the years, the port was what they're describing as an energy port. It certainly served the oil industry, Diablo Canyon, but it also has changed. And very much it is a recreational port, and it is a tourist destination. And of my personal opinion, I am in opposition of it changing from its mission, what it does today, in back to this energy port that is industrialized and ruining the character of this historic piece of our community and the nature that loves and lives there, including the humans. So they approved a study to see what impacts it would take, or what necessary things to be built, or maybe ships to be docked, or actually it wasn't very specific what exactly they're gonna study, but for they are looking to use possibly 10 acres of tide land, which would be water, land underwater, and hook in or hook up their structures or their boats or whatever it takes to then support the wind industry, either construction and or longevity of those projects. So I want everyone to be aware of those things that are going on in
Thank
a very
you.
Special place in our community.
Okay. Sheriff's report.
Yeah, Vice President Joyce Sunnison, we have one of our senior deputies here tonight. I know Commander Ian Dowdy couldn't make it. And just by way of information, the fire chief is also not available, but he did let me know he has nothing significant to report tonight.
Okay, thank you.
Carl Santos, senior deputy, San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office. Just very briefly, just touching back on the scams. Excuse me, the voice in my ear. The scams that were previously reported in a press release was submitted by the Sheriff's Office regarding subjects targeting elderly folk in the area, providing them with iPads and other tools to be able to further victimize them. That has been reported, cross-reported. We're currently working with the FBI, and an ongoing investigation is still being completed in regards to that. There's nothing other than just wanting to touch on that and brief you guys up. That is still on. Any questions?
Any questions from the board?
How are they contacting the elderly people? Is it by telephone or door knocking? Or?
To the best of my understanding, they're contacting them via phone and then progressing the scam via phone throughout, if that makes any sense. Is that
yeah.
Question?
That's too bad.
Are they saying that they're going to provide them free iPads? Is that what you're saying?
They do. They actually have came in and physically traveled down and provided them with electronics to help further their scam.
My Lord.
So then you put
yes, it's very, it's much more involved and much more sophisticated than what we've previously seen
than what we think.
In the past.
Are they doing it here in the community of Oceano?
Yes, ma'am. To my understanding, Oceano and Apollo, all throughout this South Station area.
Yeah, so Vice President Joyce Sunnison, from our standpoint, we appreciate that information from the senior deputy. It's just a matter of talking to your neighbors, letting everybody know this is happening. It's happening here in our community. Be aware. Don't trust something if it doesn't feel right, and call the authorities if you need to. So we just have to up the awareness because it's a nationwide phenomenon. It's certainly happening locally.
Yes, absolutely. Anyone calling, asking for money, or saying that they're a grandson, uncle, nephew, aunt, whatever, relative, make sure that they do not provide anybody with money or go try to load up Visa cards or do anything of that nature. We can just please continuously push that information out to the community, especially the elderly community. Alrighty.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public comment? Okay. Tony?
Good evening, Board. Tony Marcino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 97.9% full, which is 48,000. 423 acre feet. For the past few weeks, we're continuing to do weekly and monthly samples. 5 work orders, 12 USAs, 6 customer service calls. We had 2 after-hours call-outs. One was for a power outage. It lasted for a few hours. It affected our yard and lift station. The second one was a sewer lateral to a resident. They're actually on Highway 1. And as for the sewer line on Highway 1, we immediately got out there. But we did have to contract out the traffic control due to the location and the speed on Highway 1. And also the paving had to be contracted out because we didn't have the equipment to properly pave back Highway 1 because it had just been overlaid. But that is back tied and connected, and everything's functioning just fine for the resident. We are continuing to work on the service line inventory, and that needs to be completed by mid-October, and that will be completed by then. All right, we had meter reads, and then after meter reads, we went through and did re-read for high, low consumptions. We had leak notifications to a few residents, meter replacements, weed abatement around the meters, and also weed abatement at Well A. As for our fog inspections, our fats, oils, and grease for the restaurants, that is completed for the remainder of the year. Currently have 2 employees that started today at a 2-day course at Grover Beach on distribution. They got 1 more day to attend tomorrow, and Tank 1 is back online and in service. Any questions?
When you do the read the meters and you leave somebody a note, what is that when they're higher than normal, or what's?
So once meter reads is complete, we get a printout of abnormal consumptions. So it could be high, low,
okay,
zero consumption. And then we go back there and we verify which ones that are leaking or a possible leak. We'll check the meters out, and they have a leak indicator on them. And if we're seeing a leak on there, we will knock on the door. If nobody answers, we do leave a red tag that talks about leaks, mm-hmm, and the date and time that we were there. Majority of the people usually call the office, and then we touch bases with them and then kind of go through a process and how they can determine where the leak's at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good for the community if you give them a heads up before they get the bill.
Absolutely. I believe you were one of the customers we notified a few years ago.
Yes, we were.
Yes.
We had a big leak. Yeah. Not on purpose.
I know. I just have a question. Well, you talked about the employees going to the train. What was that for?
It's on distribution. So every 3 years, we've got to renew our treatment and distribution licenses. And we need CEUs in contact time, so many hours in class. So City of Grover Beach is putting on a distribution class where we're able to send 2 employees over there to get 2 days worth of contact hours. What's nice about that is if an emergency occurs, we can't pull them out of the class because they're a few minutes away.
Great.
So it's always nice to have training locally.
Yeah. Yes. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any public comment? Yeah. Okay. So, direct manager's report.
Yes, thank you, Vice President Joyce Sunderson. I have a few items to go over on the general manager's report on my activity and some of the broader activity of the organization. July 12th, Ms. Cassioli and I met with the LAFCO Executive Director, Rob Fitzroy, to go over the LAFCO process for divestiture. One of the outcomes of that meeting is on your agenda tonight, and so we'll talk about that a little later. But basically, we've set up a timeline in order to achieve the divestiture process, and part of that is how LAFCO's public hearing process takes place. So item 8B, you'll get into some details on that. But for your edification, by mid-September, the Five Cities Fire Authority will meet, and so will this board, to review all of the documents and agreements. And by October 1st, all required documents must be submitted to LAFCO. So that's kind of our working deadline to get started in LAFCO. Speaking of training, I mentioned in my last meeting on July 16th and 17th, OCSD staff attended a water sampling course both myself and one of utility managers, staff, Andres Mendoza, went over water sampling in an all-day course, how that takes place, what the protocols are, what type of contaminants we're sampling for. And the following day, there was an internal controls course that Ms. Cassioli and I attend that really looked at accounting and procedures and how to protect the organization from risk when it comes to internal controls. That course, I think, was important enough that we may bring back a summary staff report that kind of goes over the highlights of that course. And both of the slideshows from each of the trainings have been posted to the district website for anyone to look at. If you look at customer service, utilities and resources, and we put in a new tab for trainings and development, so you can go in and look at the material. It's up on the web. I've had several meetings with Kenmore Gardens and the community of Halcyon regarding the state water board staff and their desire to use the Drinking Water State Revolving Fund to improve water quality for those areas. So I'm sure you've been aware that it's an ongoing process that continues to move forward. But it's been good for me to get involved in those projects and see what's being proposed and how OCSD can be a service provider to areas that are on wells now and that are not meeting getting below maximum contamination levels for both selenium and manganese, and bringing those into OCSD water service. So that's a project that's ongoing and funded by the state. On Wednesday, July 17th, per your board's direction, postcards went out with basic division election information for all Oceana residents. I hope some of you got that, and you're able to look at the postcard yourselves. On July 18th, I attended here in this room a Zone 3 Advisory Committee public meeting where several items were discussed, including Lopez Lake operations and water report. I also would like the board to know that the committee recommended that the County Board of Supervisors consider using reserves to assist the Creek Lands conservation effort to modify the AG Creek stream gauge in order to enhance fish passage, mostly for rainbow and steelhead trout. So that'll go to the board here in the coming month or two. Let's see, three more items. On July 19th, Ms. Cassioli and I met with Andy Stenson, Wanda Monson, and President Barney to review the mid-year report for the field trip to State Parks grant program. That grant program has been really successful, and a lot of kids have got access to state parks through that grant. So that continues to move forward. I wanted to let the board know as well that both SLOCOG and APCD continue to be interested in OCSD cooperating as a host site for EV charging. I know that came to the board in the past, and it was somewhat controversial. But what I will say about this next round is there's no local match, and this item will come back to the board. And the other item was it would be level 3 DC fast charging. So it would be the fastest level charging, no cost to the district. So it's a little better than I think the version that you all considered some time ago. And then the last item that I wanted to bring to your attention is OCSD has been granted a free membership to the California Association of Sanitary Agencies, known as CASA. And that's a good organization that works together on collaborative issues for sanitary, sewer sanitary water districts. They've invited me to attend their conference in the later half of next week. One of the highlights will be a series of sessions on funding sources for wastewater infrastructure, which I know we're interested in. And then there's also a tour of Monterey One Water, which is an active potable reuse water project that produces 3,500 acre feet to replenish the seaside groundwater basin. So I thought it might be good to take a look at that and see what our neighbors to the north are doing. I know that's been a long standing discussion that's now on pause here in this area, but it would be good for me to learn more about it in practice. And that concludes my GM report. Happy to take any questions.
Board questions?
No, thank you for the report.
I have a comment. The postcard was more than I thought. It was like half a flyer, and I really liked it, so thank
in,
you.
In English and Spanish.
Yeah. I said in Spanish also, but yeah. I like the fact that it was, because I thought, oh my God, he's going to put all that information in that small postcard, but it was more like a flyer almost, like half a flyer.
Good.
So large print so that people can read it.
Public comment?
Julie Tacker again, and my first thought was, I love the list. I would love a copy of the list. the things that the general manager has done. Ideally, it'd be in your board packet. Otherwise, I got to do a public records request for it, or maybe it's attached to the minutes for next time. I did have a question about the EV pursuit, and through the divestiture, this property is going to the county. So if you're going to pursue EV, is it for this site or another property that the district owns? Because why would you take your time, your effort, your staff pursuing it if it's a county property now and they could do that on their own? Just a thought.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I may, Vice President Joyce Tennyson, two things. One, the minutes do reflect my report from the last meeting, so they are written and documented, if anyone wants to know exactly what they are. And the second thing is the county is involved in the process for the EV charging. It's led by two county agencies, so they're well aware and being coordinated with.
Aren't we getting one at the yard?
The yard is already installed.
It's got, yeah, that's what I got here.
Now we just need to get a grant for an EV vehicle to charge at the yard.
Do we have space at the yard for one more?
We do. It's a matter of replacement. So I think we're looking at getting rid of one of our older vehicles and replacing it with a newer one. And we've got a couple of irons in the fire on grant money for that.
Thank you.
Okay. No board discussion. Okay. Director's reports.
First.
Well, you kind of covered already what's going on with Parks and Recs with the field trip grant thing happening. So unless there's any more questions, I'll move on from that. And then the finance board was unable to meet. We'll be meeting later because we didn't have enough of quorum, so nothing to report.
I have nothing to report. We had no meeting.
I have nothing to report.
And I have nothing to report.
Okay.
Summertime.
Okay, so the consent items, did we take a minute to review those?
So where is the surplus equipment? Where's that happen?
It's in the calendar.
Consent agenda?
It's on the consent calendar, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, where physically does it happen?
It's in the handout.
Page 14? You mean 14? Page 14, dear. Okay. Where it tells what it is, right here.
Thank you for providing us with the pictures, Carrie. Gives us an idea. I was wondering what it looked like.
How often do we have a surplus sale? Maybe Tony knows.
We did one in 16, 17, and then we just recently got rid of that truck that didn't run. And we use government deals. It's the same vendor the county uses, and it's a website there that anyone can access, the public.
So may I ask a question on that? So how do we go about, how does this happen, the disposal? What is the process?
Well, perhaps Mr. Marchino wants to come up and talk about it. Typically, the process is we see if anyone is interested in the equipment. I think Ms. Cassioli mentioned one of the sites we use to see if anyone's interested. I think one of the items, based on air quality provisions, needs to be sold to an out-of-state provider. Otherwise, if we can't find some amount of cash value, sometimes the items are junked. So. Uh-huh.
So if the general public was interested, would they put a, how did they do that? Did they place a bid or a sealed bid or?
Yeah, so it's called Government Deals, and it's a website there, and it keeps it open, and basically the bids
are. So these are listed on that website?
They're listed on a website, yeah. And it'll have a countdown to the days.
Okay.
You can go on there anytime, really, and look up equipment, and it'll give you a countout, or you can see, like, what's due today, because it's probably the most effective way to bid, because you'll see what it's at. But
does it tell you the bids?
No. Huh?
Does it tell you what the bids are?
You know, I can't remember, but it definitely has a day tracker on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
so you can keep a close eye on that. It's called Government Deals.
Government Deals. That's all the questions I had on the consent agenda.
Okay. Do we have a motion to accept the, approve the consent agenda?
Public comment?
Sorry.
Julie Tacker again, and not, I'm sorry, I just looked at this, or I would have shot you an email to correct the table in the meeting table on page 17. Last meeting I mentioned to you that Los Osos does have wastewater authority, and here it's been changed to say that it has septic system maintenance. That's not accurate. It has wastewater authority. It just has no wastewater. It has no plant. It has no transmission. They don't take care of it. It's a dormant authority. The thinking when the sewer went in Los Osos was that at some point the county would hand over the plant and the maintenance and all of the accoutrements of a sewer. So they've left the authority in their powers at LAFCO, and they're not divesting the power. There's no need to, it's just dormant. So just a quick correction, and I'm sorry, that's petty. I know it is.
So the board knows the table is to show how often different districts meet. And the list of activities were pulled from the websites of those organizations.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no other questions about the consent agenda.
Okay.
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
We've moved and been second, so roll.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes. Okay. Okay, so now we need to look at our business items.
Yeah, Vice President Joyce Sennison, I'll take business item 8A and introduce the item. It is for the possible approval of an extension for professional services with Water Systems Consulting to continue to provide staff services to the NCMA technical group for the upcoming fiscal year for an amount not to exceed $21,000. And I think the staff report does a good job of kind of outlining how important these activities are. WSC is, I believe, in the fourth year of a five-year contract with the NCMA to provide these services. And I will say that in my short time here with the district, they've been important in terms of getting me up to speed on the NCMA activities, what happened with the Superior Court case in order to establish the partially adjudicated basin, the groundwater basin, the Santa Maria River groundwater basin. And I've invited Michael Steele to come and give a brief, I think it's about five or seven slides, to kind of go over what WSC does for Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, CSD, and Pismo Beach. And I will say that all four jurisdictions are supporting this extension of staff services. And so with that, I'll turn it over to Michael to walk us through kind of what they do. And then at the end, he and I can answer any questions the board may have.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peter, and good evening, directors. Thanks so much for having me here to speak to you tonight, and thanks for consideration of our services and continued support of the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group. My name is Michael Steele. I'm a project manager and a civil engineer at WSC. WSC is a consulting engineering firm based in San Luis Obispo, and we have provided support to the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group in various efforts since 2009. And so we can go ahead and go to our first slide. I provided just a couple slides for background in case anyone in the audience isn't familiar of the role that the Northern Cities Management Area plays in the larger groundwater basin and some of the background of how we got here. And so in this first slide, if you you can see an aerial view of the larger Santa Maria River Valley groundwater basin. And then that basin is divided into three different management areas. And so if you look at the kind of the top of that picture shaded in blue is the Northern Cities Management Area. You'll also hear it referred to as the NCMA. And we can go to the next slide. And we'll zoom in to that blue area, the NCMA. And you can see the area that overlies, that overlies that section of the groundwater basin. So up in the north, we have Pismo Beach. Heading to the south, Grover Beach, Oceano, Arroyo Grande to the east. You can also see the large agricultural area to the south and the east of Arroyo Grande Creek. And so each of the four agencies, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, and your district comprise what we call the NCMA agencies responsible for the management of this area of the basin. And go to the next slide. So the South County has a long history of water resources collaboration, as I know you all know. One of the most obvious examples of that was the construction of the Lopez Project in the late 1960s. So that included the construction of Lopez Dam and Reservoir, the Lopez Water Treatment Plant, and also the pipeline that delivers water from the Lopez Project. And then in 1983, stakeholders in the South County established what was referred to as the Gentleman's Agreement. And what this did was establish yields from the groundwater basin, what each agency could extract. And then in 1995, a lawsuit over the groundwater basin began near Santa Maria, and it prompted what began the adjudication process. So this is where the court gets involved, and the court decides how much each person, each group, each agency can use from the basin. And this is a helpful process to make sure that water supply is used fairly and that it's planned for into the future.
What was the name of the case?
The case of the adjudication. Santa Maria River Valley Groundwater Basin versus
Thank you. It's NRA Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District et al.
And was that the one that was
Let's take public comment after.
Sorry. We're gonna wait for public comment for after the presentation, please.
And so this litigation grew to over 1,000 litigants, which included each of the NCMA agencies and all of the major landowners from to the southeast of Santa Maria all the way up to the north near Pismo Beach. And so then in 2002, the management agreement was ratified by the county and the NCMA agencies, and this affirmed the yields that were developed in the gentleman's agreement, and it also updated that agreement to reflect practices that were taking place in the basin. And then that management agreement was then incorporated into the groundwater basin settlement by the court, recognizing that document and those management practices that had already been set out. The settlement also acknowledged the historical three management areas, which we showed at the very beginning. And that created the Northern Cities Management Area and required had certain responsibilities as a result of that. So it included an ongoing monitoring plan and also the development of an annual report, reporting on the results of that monitoring plan. And those responsibilities became the responsibilities of the NCMA agencies. We can go to the next slide. And so what is the Northern Cities Management Area Technical Group? This is just a quick brief overview, organizational chart. And so at the top, you can see each of the four NCMA agencies and then the different roles that are of staff that represent each agency within the technical group. And then below that, WSC has served for the past 3 years for you and the other agencies as staff extension, and so that's helping to meet your duties that are required by the court. And then also GSI is another consulting firm, and they serve as your groundwater consultant, and so really helping to monitor, to prepare the annual report, and also to do groundwater modeling, as well as other related things to that. Okay, we can go to the next slide. Okay, and so for the past 3 years, as I mentioned, we've served as an extension of your staff, helping to meet your legal requirements as well as supporting initiatives critical to the sustainable management of the basin. And so this is just kind of an overview of some of those roles and what that has looked like over the past 3 years. So it's a lot of coordination, as I'm sure you can imagine, between lots of different agencies and stakeholders. So we schedule, organize, facilitate monthly meetings. We help to coordinate discussions between the NCMA agencies and their legal teams. We coordinate and meet with agricultural representatives from the basin, and also with the Zone 3 Technical Advisory Committee. And so they're helping to manage surface water supplies. So some of the technical aspects of the work that we have been doing for you is we analyze and collect pumping data from all of the different agencies and make that available to you all. We help to scope modeling scenarios that can be evaluated by the groundwater consultant using the groundwater model that's been developed from for the basin. We help to perform as-needed research and analysis, such as, for example, an analysis of your current supplies and demands, helping all of the agencies to most efficiently use those and get the most value out of their supplies. And then we also help with administrative tasks. For example, we help with reporting that's required from the State Department of Water Resources. We also help with the management of that groundwater consultant. We help prepare an RFP for your agencies to contract for them. And then we interface with the neighboring management areas as well. We also help agencies comply with the stipulation, as I mentioned before, and sometimes that's just reporting. Other times, I think several years ago, a new judge was assigned, and they wanted to understand better the context, and so we helped to organize meetings and a tour of each of the different management areas of the basin, and so that at the request of the judge, so that they could get a better understanding of the technical setting for the adjudication. And so then we also provide managerial support, so that's helping to manage the process of developing the annual report every year, which is submitted to the court. We also help with strategic planning efforts, so making sure that what the group is focused on is aligning with the goals that have been determined. And then we help to identify grants and funding opportunities that might be of interest to the agencies. And then we also do things such as lead workshops on specific topics whenever it would be helpful to the agencies. We can go ahead and go to the next slide. And so I want to highlight a few recent NCMA successes. In 2021, the groundwater model that was developed for the basin was updated with some additional data that was collected. Then in 2023, the management agreement, essentially an updated draft to that management agreement, was completed by all of the agencies. And then in 2024, an adaptive management plan was drafted as well to go along with that management agreement. In April of last year, the 2023 annual report was finalized and submitted to the court. And then in June of this past year, we began updating that groundwater model. So the historical data in that groundwater model went through 2016, and so that's being updated through present day. through 2024. And I think another big success as well that came out of the work that the NCMA Technical Group has done recently has been the contract changes that have allowed for storage rights at Lopez that I believe were passed last year. And so that, I think, has been a big value to the agencies and their constituents, allowing you to, instead of losing that water, allowing you to store it from 1 year to the next in Lopez. And so the NCMA Technical Group helped to consult with Zone 3 and to evaluate the impacts of that and review those draft changes. Okay, we can go ahead and go to the next slide. And then just a few upcoming milestones that we're planning. As I mentioned, we continue our monthly technical group meetings. In this winter, we anticipate completing that groundwater model update that I mentioned. Also in the winter, we have planned for a new strategic planning effort, so that strategic plan has previously been developed in 5-year increments. We're at the end of that 5th-year increment at the end of 2024. Also in the spring, we are anticipating each of the agencies finalizing that management agreement update, and then another annual report will be finalized for 2024 and will be available in the spring to all the agencies as well as the Corps. Next slide. And that's it. So that's all I have prepared, but I'm happy to take any questions and answer anything that you might have.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. Okay. So you say part of the, you monitor who's using how much water?
We don't do any monitoring ourselves, but we collect that information
data
from the agencies.
Exactly, okay.
And compile it and make it available.
And so how much of the NCMA is adjudicated? Do we know?
Well, I have an answer, and I think Jeff might have one too. The adjudication of the entire basin looks at municipal uses in Santa Maria up through Pismo Beach. So the municipal users are required to report. As a new person to this realm of NCMA, I've definitely noted that there is not a full adjudication of the basin in the sense that agricultural users are not required to monitor, report, or track how much groundwater they pull from the basin. So the way I've heard Jeff describe it is it's a partially adjudicated basin,
okay.
But I'll have him add anything that I left out or got incorrect.
Thank you, Vice President Joyce Sunnison. It's true. It appears when you look at the stipulation and judgment that they got about as far as they could get in agreement and stopped. And so the purveyors, like yourself, anyone who takes water and serves it to others is identified as a purveyor. And they are stipulating parties to the stipulation and judgment. But then there are non-stipulating parties, such that we refer to them as the log group is one. Mm-hmm. And those are agricultural interests who signed the agreement as non-stipulating parties, and their role in, are they subject to the stipulation and the judgment? There's questions that come up periodically, and it is a concern as far as enforcement and jurisdiction of the court. So those are the types of issues that have continually hung us up when those issues arise. One of the issues that we addressed recently is when the court, submitted a motion to appoint a technical advisor to the judge, and what is the scope of the technical advisor to the judge? Are the non-stipulating parties subject to that agreement or not? That is an issue that has not yet come up.
So,
potentially could.
Thank you. I don't see how, to me, part of the problem is if the farmers aren't metered or any way to know what they get, how is anything going to be solved?
That is a very good question.
Okay.
to one, I don't have the answer. For the most part, agricultural interests have, they have always expressed a desire to not be metered. And
right.
So we notice these issues when in Napomo, for example, in that area, when strawberry farming really became big thing, and strawberries take a lot of water, and it's difficult to understand how much groundwater is actually being extracted in those areas, because although the purveyors, such as yourselves, Pismo, mm-hmm. Grover, Rio Grande, track and monitor their own pumping, there are right. people out there who don't, but are who still have straws in the same basin with us.
Okay. And are you familiar with the Dana Preserve Project?
I am, yes.
Yeah, and aren't they having a problem with supplying enough water for the project as a whole? And they were using water that was already spoken for?
So if I may, Vice mm-hmm. President Joyce Citizen, the item before the board tonight is the extension of staff services for WSC, and we're asking that your board take action on that. And with respect to Director Gibson, I don't want us to stray too far off of the subject.
Okay.
So if we may, stick to any clarifying questions on the item before you for myself or for Michael, and then we'll do public comment and then board deliberations.
Just one more question. So when you look at this, I mean, you're looking at the whole NCMA and Napomo and Santa Maria and how they're interrelated or?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, it's one groundwater basin. It's divided into right. three different management areas. And so what we are doing as staff extension services for you all is we're mm-hmm. helping you to meet your requirements yeah. Specifically for the Northern Cities management area. So one of those areas. However, you know, obviously issues that might impact your neighbor would impact you as well. And
right.
so it's something that we
right.
Help the group to focus on.
Okay, I've been told to be quiet, so.
I just have one question, and that is, like, I know that you said that farming isn't monitored, correct? None of the farmers in this area or anywhere.
None that I'm aware of.
Okay, so they're not monitored, but we have an estimate, right? Of what, okay.
There are estimates that are developed within the annual report that's submitted every year.
I've talked to some local farmers, and they say that they know eventually they're going to be metered. Question is when.
Okay. Public comment. My name is Giselle Naylor, and I didn't get this person's name, but I have a question directly for this person. What's your name? Peter.
My name is Peter Brown.
Okay, Peter Brown, you're the new general manager.
That's what I'm told.
And water is not an issue.
And I would request the public provide comment directly to the board and not specific individuals on staff. Thank you.
This specific individual raised the issue of water not being part of 8A. 8A concerns extension of money to staff, extension of staff, therefore they need money from somebody, is that it? Well, if they do, what I'm saying is we need to know about water first. Because when you talk about litigation, and this is one thing I wanted to raise anyway, we've got that great big litigation over water and everybody coming together for miles around to determine on an equal basis as much as possible between all the stakeholders, how are we going to divide the water? Water's the issue. Money follows. How are we going to fulfill the policies of the court and the stakeholders? So the first thing is we need access to the records. We need access to water records. We need access to all kinds of public records. Where the money's being spent, who gets what, where. And when you go into, and we've been through this for years, through various board iterations, various general manager iterations, you know, we're going into closed session because of litigation. That doesn't hold when you're talking about a lawsuit that has between 800 and 1,000 stakeholders.
people who were actually parties to that litigation. And they had a huge website that was established in Santa Clara County. I hope it's still active for the new members that are now working for you. So what I want to say is, what part of the presentation has public access sewn into it? Are the meetings public? You know, are the results of the consultation public? And when I read in, you know, the agendas and the meeting notes of the OCSD, we're going into closed litigation, water litigation, that's the water that comes out of our tap. That's the water that comes from Lopez Lake, from the groundwater, from the State Water Project. We used to have 90% of State Water Project coming out of our tap to make our drinking water healthy. Now we have zero. So who's getting it, and how much did they pay for it?
Thank
That's
you.
An example of the issues that should concern this meeting.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and I would like a copy of the presentation that was shown on the screen, so I don't know how to get that. The staff report, first paragraph under discussion, says that Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Grover Beach are generally pleased. Those are my air quotes. Generally pleased with the quality of work from WSC staff. I am a student of the Central Coast Blue Project, and I'll tell you that I am generally displeased with the work of the engineers that work specifically on that. I do not know if Mr. Steele is one of those engineers, but I hope not, because I question the ethics of the people at that firm that created Central Coast Boondoggle. I want you all to remember that WSC was the grant writer that used your logo, that used your demographics, that used Oceano. Even in placement of pieces of the project to gobble grants for Central Coast Blue. They overstated the impact of the seawater intrusion based on the 2009 contaminated well. They're the water master for the NCMA. There's a conflict of interest there to be the project proponent and the water master. I kind of want, in the coming years, you all to think about the relationship of the NCMA partners, because you got stomped on. You're not a partner. You got walked over and used. And I believe that that behavior is going to continue. So this, I'm not sold on this firm. I don't know. I mean, I'd switch horses today if I could. Your staff report does say that there's going to be an RFP in the next year to look for a new consultant for the subsequent NCMA reports, etc. And I wish that was today. After what you've been through, what your community's been through, and what you still could be facing, it should be today.
Thank you. Board discussion.
Vice President Joyce Senison, prior to board deliberations, I just want to clarify a few things, perhaps that relate to the public comments. So first of all, the main output of this group is our annual report, and that's publicly available. The work we do in the technical group is really geared towards developing the annual report, and those are posted on multiple websites for the NCMA annual report. That, to me, is how I learned a lot about what the NCMA does and what the requirements are from the court. So I recommend the public look at that annual report. The Zone 3 collaboration, those are public meetings, and so those are great meetings to attend to find out what's happening with the Zone 3 collaborators. The technical group is a staff group. We don't typically have public meetings. We have staff meetings. And then a couple other points for the second commenter. I've emailed her a copy of the presentation, so she has that in her email. And just to clarify, WSC is not the water master for the NCMA. I've heard this multiple times, and I worked with Michael to kind of clarify where that misunderstanding may have taken place. And we've updated the website. I think it's the state's or the court's website for reporting to make it clear that WSC is not the water master for the NCMA. They, as the staff report correctly states, provide staff extension services to help us fulfill our court-mandated role in terms of annual reporting and other things. Just wanted to clarify those things for the board.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that clarification, because that was one of my questions about the water master and the conflict. So that is no, okay. All right. Well, thank you very much for the presentation. I think it was really done well. That I think people watching or that haven't they hear NCMA but don't really know. I think it really explained the whole situation very, very nicely. So that's all the comments I have.
Thank you for answering all my questions. And if you anyone wants to go on SLO County Water and click on that, there's all kinds of water reports.
Oh, and Mr. Brown, if I'd like to get a copy, I think the board should have a copy of the NCMA slideshow.
Absolutely, yeah.
It'll be on our website.
Will it be on the website?
Happy to post it there too. Yep.
I think that would be great. People do ask, so thank you very much.
So we are looking for a motion from the board tonight on this item.
Okay. So, well, I'll make a motion that we approve the direct the general manager to approve the extension for professional services with WSC to continue for the fiscal year of 2024-25 for the amount not to exceed $21,000.
A second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
And Vice President Joyce Sennison?
Yes. B, 8B, business item, 8B.
Thank you, Vice President Joyce Dennison. I think Ms. Cassiola will take this item.
Okay.
So yeah, Vice President Joyce Dennison, members of the board. So 8B, we have a resolution to endorse the plan of service for the divestiture of fire protection services and to authorize a payment up to $9,500 for the upcoming LAFCO hearing. So just a little brief timeline. In 2022 and 2020, we placed measures on the ballots to increase funding for fire services. And as we know, neither passed. In 2023, the board approved Resolution 2023-03, and that was to divest fire services and transfer the services to the County of San Luis Obispo, and that began our LAFCO proceedings. In the first half of 2024, your board and the County Board of Supervisors developed the attached plan for service to your agenda package here today. Your board, as a part of the June 18th Board of Supervisors meeting, provided the attached letter of support for this plan as both boards worked on the plan together. So LAFCO requires the district to provide a resolution from our board endorsing the plan for service, and this will be for the LAFCO hearing. So the LAFCO hearing There's an estimate for it to be on October 17th if all the agreements are completed by our due date of October 1st. So that will set the LAFCO protest hearing. And that would be set for November 21st if all those deadlines are met. And similar to how when we have protest hearings for Prop 218 rate increases, LAFCO has to notice all of our residents and property owners of that hearing so people can submit protest and be at that hearing. And that means that our district has to cover the charges for the LAFCO staff time, which is estimated to be $3,500. And also we have to provide funds for the mailing of the notices, which is estimated to be $6,000. So that's where the $9,500 goes for to send to LAFCO. So our fiscal year 2024-2025 budget in the fire fund included $7,500 for LAFCO services. So we have a $2,000 overage. We're not asking for a budget adjustment today because this is just an estimated, and we don't know if that's the exact cost for all the mailers and staff time. So at this time, we feel that's sufficient, and once LAFCO gets the final cost on everything, we can come back with a budget adjustment if needed. But we also expect savings in the fire fund under communications and other line items in that budget. So with that, if there's any questions, we are happy to answer them.
Well, I guess one thing is LAFCO can turn us down, correct? But chances are they're not going to.
I think that's a fair statement. I think when we met with LAFCO and talked to them about their process and procedure, they do have to go through the protest hearing, and the protest hearing procedures they go through lines out under what circumstances they could deny the application.
And if that happened, what would happen?
I don't know. I wish I could tell you what exactly would happen. We would have to scramble to come up with how we provide fire service going forward.
Okay, well, I think we're just moving through all the steps that we've been moving through all along, so.
Yeah.
This is just the last one. We need to get the LAFCO thing going, so.
So on the timeline, the meeting in October, is that the last step?
Well, there's a few steps before that, and this mm-hmm. board will see some of those steps prior to the LAFCO process beginning in October. In your September meeting, we will bring all the agreements that we have with the county and with five cities in their current form. We still need to look at those agreements and perhaps have a little back and forth with the county, but those will be things like the lease for this building back to the county, how we handle the specific lease agreement with the sheriff, the property tax transfer agreement that needs to be signed by the board. So there's a whole list, and that's three of like seven or eight different documents and agreements that we'll bring back to you in your September meeting, because we need board authorization to finish those, sign those, agree to those. The county will do the same in September. And then what LAFCO is saying is if you want to meet this divestiture by the end of the calendar year, we need everything finished by October 1st. So there's several more steps to go to get there.
Okay, thank you.
Public comment?
I have a question.
Well, please come to the podium.
All I know about fire services since I've been here is that, and this isn't just me, this is the neighborhood that I live in, which is within walking distance of this room, when there really is a threat and somebody is lighting a fire on a neighboring property in a manner that is endangering wooden structures on everybody's lot lines, the Grover Beach Dispatch, that's who we called, would argue about why they have to come out. I mean, literally, for 15 minutes, it's like, how do you know there's a fire? It's so big that I can look over the roof of my garage and see the reflection of the fire on the trees on 16th Street. And then, you know, after that, after them
telling me if I don't get off the phone, they're going to call the police and make a complaint. And I'm like, when are they going to get here? I think they're going to get here before the sheds burn down. There's no, I would not pay five cities a cent. They have a fire captain now. How many months and years did they go without a captain? Because I've been told over the phone by Five Cities Fire Authority, picking up the phone on the other end, that there is no captain. They're in between captains. All the people that work there are captains. When you've got a real fire hazard, you don't need to argue that. When your property and everything that you have got put into that property, whether it's big or small, to get a pattern of neglect coming out of that fire department, there's something wrong. So there are ways to get things done without selling everything that we have and giving everything that we have like we're being blackmailed by the fire authority. They get paid even when they're not working because they have to. That's the nature of the fire department. Emergencies arise and there's time when staff get paid and they're not doing anything. And then you got, God forbid, you should raise an issue and say, hey, you've only got one EMT, but you have to know first aid. Why not throw it out to the public? One of the guys that, you know, isn't fighting a major forest fire, and there are two separate agencies there, I think, two separate degrees of training. You know, why not have him just practice? Teach a first aid class, let the public come and learn first aid, just for the heck of it, which is what they did all the time. They used to do that all the time, years ago, in big cities, because they had to. They had to pop, you know, educate the public, too.
Thank you. Any other public comment? I don't see any.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution endorsing the plan for services for the divestiture of the district's fire protection services. Authorize a payment of $9,500 to LAFCO for the required public hearing.
Second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Villa?
Yes.
And Vice President Joyce Sennis?
Yes. Okay, hearing items. Are there any hearing items? No hearing items, okay. Received written communication. Late received written communication. Future hearing items. Future agenda items.
I don't have anything.
Vice President Joyce Sennison, I will just let the board know on future agenda items. Ms. Cassioli and I have a plan for the end of the year through December.
Yes.
I'll give you an example. I did hear from a director today that was interested in an item. She sent me an email. It's on the agenda. It's coming back in August. I want to simplify the future agenda items process and get anything that the board wants on there. So if you have an issue and it comes to your mind, or if it's a response to something I email you, just let me know. I will say the two August meetings are looking pretty full already. And then as we do one meeting in the months of September through December, those meetings should be fairly busy agendas coming forward as well. So enjoy tonight's brief meeting.
No closed session. Meeting adjourned. Thank you.